And we are live on Michael Angley, live on debate night in an hour. You know, you're going to have, or 52 minutes, I guess it is. You're going to have Joe Biden, presidential hopeful, all around liar. And Donald Trump, crazy old coot, all around liar, going at each other, man. Going at each other in their bid to get your vote here in the United States. If you're in other countries, you can also vote for president. You know, the Democrats anyway are including those votes. But it's mayhem. It's madness. It's a clown show. It's all that and more. And then now, you know, things are heating up. And, oh, man, you have Hunter Biden's laptop shows up, you know. You know, FBI had that since December of 2019, okay? They could have any time come out. Hey, we have Hunter Biden's laptop. It says a lot of suspicious stuff about Joe Biden or whatever. This is the bottom line. They sat on that all this time to use that for the election. You know, both sides have their big peaches, plums, all the nice stuff they're going to throw at you and say, look at this. Look at this, how evil they are. Bah! Joe Biden's a liar. Oh, really? Wow, what a revelation. Joe Biden, I think all the people who know him, who support him, who are voting for him, they know he's a liar. They have no problem with him being a thief, a criminal, or whatever you want to call it. But is it crime to do what they do, to that kind of level of corruption, of overseeing things, and all of a sudden here they come, you know, down the pike, right? So you're in charge of the Ukraine. Oh, your son mysteriously ends up on a Ukrainian oil company board, even though he knows nothing about freaking oil, nothing about the freaking Ukraine, nothing about anything. The guy is a big, you know what Hunter Biden knows about, from what I gather? He knows about prostitutes, dancers, like, you know, strippers. He knows about cocaine, you know, crack, things like that. He knows how to drink. What else he knows, I don't know. He knows that he's a Biden. He knows that his last name is Biden, and that entitles him to make money. All the Bidens in that family do it, you know. So now they're being exposed as this criminal family. Guess what? Same for the Clintons. The only difference is this guy, Hunter Biden's ex-partner, Bobulinski, would have been floating face down in some river already if it was a Hillary Clinton involved. But here's the guy on TV. Here's the guy saying, and this guy, he's a Democrat, a Democratic supporter. He was Hunter Biden's partner. And he said, Joe Biden is lying. Joe Biden has been part of this. He gets money from this. He's gotten money from these deals, right? I just watched the little press conference, you know. The guy's coming out scared for his family. These people threatened his life and his family. That's what he says anyway. So this is the Democrat strategy. Obama out there, you know, Joe Biden went into hiding when all this happened. He said it was a smear campaign against him, his family, a smear campaign, really. But is it, or is it just truth? And yeah, they waited a whole, you know, what, 8 months, 9 months, 10 months to bring it out. Well, they could have brought it out in January. They would have been beaten around. Nobody would have cared. You know, the other media, the CNN type of media, if you want to call it that, the NBCs, they're not talking about this. They don't want to talk about this because it doesn't support their agenda and they're candid. And I'm going to tell you about Matt Drudge and the Drudge Report. I used to use the Drudge Report for good headlines. He pretty much put everything out there, right? A little bit right-leaning, but put stuff out there. I'm really not into media that leans right or left. I just want to hear the news. I want to hear the facts. I want to hear what's going on. I have my own opinions. You don't have to give me my opinions. I can think for myself. But now Drudge has gone the way of CNN. They've gone all the way to the left, you know, for whatever reason. Maybe Matt Drudge grew some kind of conscience in his old age. Maybe that they're the people that are running it are like Google type of people. They don't want you to have any kind of ill word against their candidate. It's really been a restriction of free speech I got suspended yet again from Facebook from a picture I posted of Adam Schiff, right? And it was a Halloween mask of a dude of a big butt face, like a butt, that ass, asshole, the whole bit, butt face. Adam Schiff. Looks just like Adam Schiff. It is Adam Schiff. So I posted this back in April and said, wearing a mask, I'm going to walk around with Halloween masks. Instead is my Adam Schiff mask. So they said, and this is back in April, and I just got suspended the other day, that it was sexual content and basically that doesn't support their whole thing, right? Facebook doesn't like that kind of sexual content, a Halloween mask that looks like a butt. Is this the information police now? Is this, I mean, it's my wall, my friends, my people. If you want to restrict that type of thing, sure, take it off where other people can't see it. So your unsuspecting little old lady surfing Facebook, looking at cat videos, doesn't come across a Adam Schiff butt face and be so horribly offended that she dies of an aneurysm right there. You know? I mean, these guys have gone way, way, way too far in censoring and taking people's rights away. And I don't care if it's a Facebook. I don't care if it's a Google. Facebook basically bought everybody else up now, you know, when it comes to like Instagram, that type of thing. So my fears about this have come true, that you have let corporate America control your speech. They're firmly in control. They say, oh, well, you don't have to use it. But it's such a widely used platform, it's become a downright utility. Is Facebook a utility? No, but it fulfills the promise of a utility. So if you're conversing with other people on there, you're talking to your friends, your family, whoever, your followers, whatever you got, right? It's your business and their business. If they don't want to see it or hear it, they don't have to follow that, right? So you can imagine, like, all right, you have a Verizon or AT&T as a phone company, T-Mobile or whatever. Imagine using your phone to call somebody, and the phone company blocks your speech because they're monitoring you. And they don't like what you're saying. They're picking up words. They think that you said something sexual or racist, you know, of the overtones. They don't like your tone, right? This is what is next. If you let these bastards take 1 inch, they're going to reach back and they're going to take 10 miles. And that's going to be your rights. It's going to be your privacy out the window. The younger generation, they don't care because they have no heart. They have no thrust. They have no nothing, no fortitude. They got nothing. They're sheep who will listen to whoever tells them what the deal is. Oh, man, you can either choose one side or the other. So you're a liberal sheep or you're a conservative sheep. Whatever, man. You got to think for yourself in this world. You can't let people think for you. You can't let people tell you what to think or tell you what to say or tell you what you're saying is wrong because it's your opinion, you know? So, and they're going to search back to April. So either somebody reported it who went through my Facebook month for month, week for week, day to day. There's a lot of crap on there. And then found the Adam Schiff butt face pic and then reported that, or Facebook is going back in time to look for violations against people out there because it doesn't fit their agenda. It's that simple. And these corporations are pushing everyone around in every country. It's not just an American problem. I have friends in England, I have friends in Australia, I have friends in Cambodia. They're all feeling the same thing, that the corporate world is breathing down their necks. The corporations control all these politicians. They control the media that you see. So at the end of the day, you're bought and sold and controlled. They don't like what you say, they'll shut you down. Man, if you're publicly shamed and you're shut down, you can get fired from your job. You can lose your apartment, all kinds of things. I know people that lost their job. I know a guy after 30 years. Because he used the N-word on his Facebook and not in a derogatory sense, but talking to another friend. And I said, dude, you're white. You can't use that word. It's just the way it goes. So somebody in his company got wind of it, and then no due process, nothing like that. You're fired. 30 years of service. 30 years was livelihood. And let me tell you, when you get over 50 and you're looking for a job, you're going to be looking for a job. There's not a ton of jobs out there if you're over 50, unless you want, you know, maybe drive a taxi cab or something. You know, I mean, simple Walmart greeter. But corporations don't want to hire people over 50. They don't want to hire people with any kind of health problems or any kind of life problems, relationship or whatever. They don't want baggage. They want young, simple, work cheap, live cheap. They just want the sheep, you know? And this is what's going on in America. This is what's going on all over the world. You know, people are being controlled and people are being used. So it used to be, okay, I don't want anybody to tell me what to say. Big free speech was big when I was younger. Everybody marching up and down. I was in court over free speech with a case in Ithaca, New York, and I won that case. I'll tell you, though, things now are much worse. We've come to a point where, and I don't believe it has anything to do with Trump and the Democratic Party, because, yeah, they've attacked him since he announced he was going to run. And the more steam he built, the more they attacked him. Then they laughed at him. They mocked him. Oh, he'll never be president. I got Obama on there probably 1,000 times in sound clip. It's, he'll never be president. Trump will never be president. He'll never be president. Well, he became president. He became president because people are sick of the status quo. They're sick of the establishment. They're sick of all that. And then Trump stood for drain the swamp, right? So the people that I talked to, I just drove across the country, you know, 13 states, some of them twice. Saw it all, talked to people, talked to Hopi Indian, talked to Navajo. I talked to everybody of every walk of life, people who believed in the mask, don't believe in the mask, people trying to live their lives. The one thing I saw that stood out the most, and this is important, above all your polls, there were thousands, and I mean thousands of Trump signs from New York to Utah and back again. Thousands. And these weren't signs, I mean, a percentage of them, 20% put out by the Republican Party, right? Nice billboard, that type of thing, 20%. The rest of them were homemade, elaborate, people with their pickup trucks or other trucks with the American flag, farmers, farmland, as far as the eye could see, with huge Trump signs, because they have a passion for this president. They believe that he is there for them. They believe that he wants to represent them. They saw the economy turn better underneath him. They saw rules and restrictions being lifted and also taxes being lifted so they can live a little better, right? Democrats have never done that. Democrats are very typical hand in your pocket, your money is my money attitude, right? Trump is also not a typical Republican, so they don't know how to deal with him. You know, he's kind of a free-for-all joker in the deck, you know, right? All this while, in the car, my little traveling companions and I, a girl and a cat, long story, we discussed it. Like, you know, we only saw maybe 3 or 4 Biden signs. And those weren't like in someone's yard. They were up on the billboard. It was like Democratic, you know, Democratic National Committee type of billboard sign, right? Highly produced. Joe Biden. Full of lies. I mean, the guy lies. The people who do his commercials, they just outed another guy who's the bar owner. He's on there saying, you know, how long can we be closed? We don't know how long we can last. We don't have the money, and Trump has messed things up, and Biden's got a plan. Turns out the guy is just this big, wealthy investor, and then he was the one who was in charge of the movement to close the bars. So here he is talking about when are they going to be open. It's not right what Trump did. This is the deal, man. They're all freaking liars. And you can't believe what they say. So, okay. When I see people, I talk politics. I like to. Gas stations, hotels. I've been in a lot of hotels past month or so, couple months. I'd like to talk to people and ask them, pick their brain. And the ones who say, and they all say the same thing. And I don't even have to lead them in a conversation or anything. They say, you know, I'm supporting Trump. I'm voting for Trump. I don't even like the guy, but I like what he stands for. This is the common denominator between all these Trump people. They don't like him personally. He's not the guy that they want to hang out with. But probably if you hung out with him, you would have a laugh at least. I think that he's a jokester and he likes to laugh. You know, you have to take his ego and kind of laugh at it. And he's not really being this arrogant shrub. I think actually he's a very insecure individual. I think he's powerful in a lot of ways, but very insecure. Insecurity can cause all kinds of trouble in life for you, man. Just saying. But with Trump, he's got a passion and a fire that Joe Biden could never have. Joe Biden is literally the guy they took out of cryonics. They thawed him out. They put him on the campaign trail. They really had nothing else. You had a huge Democratic field, but not one of those people could go toe-to-toe with Trump. And maybe you thought, okay, Amy Klobuchar, but this woman falls apart, as do most of them. They might be able to keep it together for a debate or something like that. But when it comes to voting, this is my take on it. If I'm going to vote for you, I'm going to say, how are you going to improve my situation and the situation for the country from now into the future, for future generations, right? That's an honest feeling. Not one of these people in the Democratic Party had any kind of plan. The Green New Deal or communism, communism, communism. That was the Bernie thing, right? The Bernie bros feel burnt because Bernie ducked out like he did. That's what he does. He gets in there with a lot of momentum and he ducks out. When Hillary Clinton stole the election from him, the primary, I mean, she clearly didn't deserve it. She bought it and bought those people involved, right? Bernie, I thought it was going to come out in the DNC, especially a guy who really wasn't even a Democrat, come out in the DNC and have people vote for him there on the floor, cause a huge upset. Nope. He came out and spoke like somebody had a gun to his wife's head. Probably did, knowing Hillary Clinton. So, but like Obama's out there stumping for Biden right now. In the final days, and the only thing he's doing, this is my take on Obama, right? I voted for Barack Obama the first time around. The second time around, I did not vote for him. All right? When... when he came out for Hillary, it worked against her because all he did was remind people how terrible things were under his administration. So now when he comes out, he's so smug and self-involved. And he acts like every word, literally every word that comes out of his mouth is some kind of gospel for you to be overwhelmed and enjoyed, you know, rejoiced. Oh my God, Obama's speaking. He's saying something. Oh my God, he's so amazing. Oh my God. I think that's what he thinks of himself. When I listen to him talk, I just think of some cheap used car salesman trying to sell me something with too many miles on it that I don't want. You know? This guy's a liar. He's lied multiple times. He ran a terrible administration. They didn't fix health care. They basically destroyed it for most people. People got a lot less for a lot more is what happened. You got a lot less. My health care soared through the roof. There was a point where I couldn't even afford it anymore. Now the health care that I have, I have to be really freaking sick, have a big giant deductible of thousands of dollars for me even go in there. So that's not a solution. That was their solution. And then they touted look what he did and got the economy. He got the economy to come back. This is the same guy who started his ass off when he said that the other candidate, this is when Trump was running last time, right? The other candidate said he's going to, you know, get the economy moving and make the stock market go higher. Oh. He's like, how's he going to do it? How's he going to do it? He didn't have a clue on how Trump was going to do it. He didn't have an idea because he didn't know how to do it. You know, it's like you have a car in front of you and you have a person who has driven cars, who knows cars. Maybe even they know how to fix a car. They know everything about a car. Driven all kinds of weather, everything. They can handle that thing like you wouldn't believe. Then you get this other one who's never driven a car in their lives. They're looking at it like it's some kind of weird thing. They don't even know how to start the thing. That's Obama. That was him. So when I see him go on TV now, he reminds me of all the bad stuff that he did and how doom and gloom, the jobs that went overseas, the jobs that went down the hall, the industries that collapsed under Obama. I can go on and on and on economically what this dude did to this country and how Obama was moving the United States of America to a global economy, into a global system, which was being welcomed by the UN. If the UN is happy about something that we're doing, we're on the wrong track. Do you understand? If you find yourself agreeing with these bought and paid for politicians and corporations and the media, you're on the wrong track because their best interest is not yours. Your best interest is how much money you have in your pocket at the end of the day, what you can spend that money on. If you're spending half your money on some kind of rent or some kind of mortgage, you got family to support, you got kids to support. Now everything is a bunch more complicated because of this virus. People trying to mitigate the virus, businesses closed, schools messed up. This person has it, that person has it. Oh, Andrew Cuomo comes out with a book. You're the governor of New York. There's a crisis going on. People are at the end of the rope financially. And here you are writing a book, how great you are. If that is not the epitome of a horrible, crooked politician who is self-serving and egotistical, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, man. So tonight's debate between President Donald J. Trump and President hopeful Joe Trash Heap Biden, Trump is going to come out of the box like a bull. And he's going to be like, rah, Hunter. And granted, it's you know, it's interesting how the media unbelievably is ignoring this story. And when Adam Schiff came out and said it was the Russians. It was the Russians. It was a Russians who planted the laptop, right, that the FBI just happened to have in their possession. And then, you know, you got the business partner, Bobulinski, coming out with cell phones now in this press conference saying, I have three cell phones with all the messages on it, only been held by me. How long do you think it will be before they say that this Bobulinski dude is a Russian agent? The guy was in the Navy. He's a veteran. His whole family was Navy, right? How soon do you think it will be? You know, Hunter Biden was kicked out of Navy for being a crackhead because of his excessive drug use, kicked out. He went from being kicked out of the Navy in dishonorable discharge type of situation into being an oil company executive for the Ukraine because his last name is Biden. People are sick of that type of corruption. And you know what? I'm not a black person, United States of America, but I have a lot of friends who are black. And I all my life, I've known the struggles. I'm talking about real black people, not the, you know, what they put out there, the DNC puts out there, what they consider black, because they don't put candidates out that have roots to the black community. They put candidates out there that are people of color, but they really have no roots, nothing, zero roots to the American black community, which is part of the problem. Because black people in America need that representation. You need to have people who know what the plight is, what the daily life is, you know? But They don't do that, the Democrats. They talk a good game. They want this, that, whatever as president, but they're not willing to go in that direction. You know, and this was the same party who started the KKK. This is the same party who started a lot of racist organizations, the Democrats. But what I find offensive, me personally, as a human being, not as a white guy, not as anything, as a person, not as an American, nothing, just as a human being put here by God. What I find offensive the most is these politicians who use black people for their vote, who promise them all these things and deliver on nothing, you know, and these liberal politicians are in control of the worst ghettos in America you can imagine. They've always been bad. They've never been good. Black people had hopes that when Obama got in there, he was going to do something. He did stuff all right. He did stuff for himself, you know, signing a $400 million contract with Netflix so he can make movies and make specials, even though he and his wife have no, zero, zilch producer experience. But he certainly decorated a lot of those Hollywood producers who came by, Steven Spielberg, people like that. He gave them all medals. He gave them all medals. What did he do for the black community? What did he do to the Latino community, the gay community, anybody? White community, anybody. He mocked white men when people were upset with him. They lost their jobs and they voted in Republicans in the House at that midterm election. And then he mockingly said, oh, these are the white men who cling to their guns and Bibles and their cushy factory jobs. And that just shows how arrogant and egotistical he is, man, to look at people who are angry with you because you flushed their jobs out of this country making your deals because you don't know what the hell you're doing. And these guys also now can't support their families, their communities, their cities, their states, everything that their money supports when they make that paycheck and they go home and they buy two pizzas for their family, supporting the pizza parlor in their town, or whatever the hell they buy, whatever they use, whatever they do to drive the economy, you know, or go on vacations and visit other places and spend money there, right? Cushy jobs in the factories. I've never heard of cushy jobs and factory being put in the same sentence. Cushy job, you know, congressman, yeah. Cushy job senator, oh yeah. They sit on their ass and collect money. So talking about money, follow the money. You're right. You're Joe Biden, who was in on these deals. When he said, I don't know what my son is doing. He doesn't discuss his deals with me. Then the guy's own sister said, oh, you got to give half of your money to daddy. Whatever money he has coming in, kick half of it upstairs. It's like the mafia. Mafia doesn't even take that much, maybe like 20%, 25%. But you get something out of it. Dealing with Joe Biden, the only thing you might get is a little bit of sniff. And I'm not talking about his son's cocaine. But this is my thing. The devil, you know, is already in office. Trump made the economy really good because he listened to economists and they drove the economy through the roof. If this virus hit, and the stock market was where it was when Obama was in there, we would have really been hurting, you know? But the market's bouncing back. People are getting over their fears. They're operating, functioning. They're adapting. They're overcoming to this thing. The virus is spiking. Sure, it's going to come back. Another wave is going to come. The first wave hasn't even gone yet. You know, I'm in New York State right now. And then the virus is cranking up all over the place. Pockets, they say. They're thinking about shutting stuff down again. So with winter, you got viruses that like to get around easy, right? So this is the deal. Joe Biden's a liar, and he lied about that. He should have just told the truth. People would have respected him if he had went out and said, I'm a lying, cheating thief. That's right. You know? I mean, let's face it. Your vice president under Obama. You got nothing to do. I mean, nothing to do. And the only reason why somebody appoints someone as vice president, And that person is usually the most horrible person they can find, because they know that they themselves, there's no incentive for people to assassinate them or bounce them out of office, because the vice president is so horrible and inept, right? And we can look back through history. There's a lot of them. The only one that wasn't like that is Dick Cheney, but he was more the president, and Bush was more the vice president. Bush was the guy that did nothing. So Joe Biden is sitting there doing nothing. He's been there over 47 years as a senator, as this, as that, with his hand in the till. Where do you think he made all this money from? Not collecting money from his wife, who's a doctor. Where do you think he made all this money from, right? And this guy loves money. Do you know that he's got a some kind of like pool house attached to his property? He's got a big spread in Delaware, right? And the Secret Service, when he was vice president, you know, had to keep an eye on him when he was at home or whatever. So they occupied that house, you know, not because Biden didn't want them in the main house, right? He charged them thousands of dollars rent for that house they occupied so they can protect him while he's vice president. He loves money. You think for a second that this guy is not going to be like, okay, you know, Hunter, I'm going to send you out there. I know that you're a lowly crackhead who has babies with strippers and doesn't take care of them. I'm going to send you out there, you little bastard. I'm not even going to give you a good sniff before you leave because I'm mad at you. And whatever money you get to give me half. So when it came to real estate companies in one country, or oil company in Ukraine, or now this Chinese deal, and they have texts going back and forth about Joe Biden and how Biden was part of these meetings. So the Democrats say, oh, but that was 2017. It was after he was in office. He's still peddling his influence. You know, they peddle their influence, all the connections they make while they're in there. So my thing is, all of these politicians who engage in this activity, they should be giving us half of the money that they make, right? We should be taking that cut, because we're the ones who essentially put them in office and supported them while they're in office making these deals. If they weren't in office making these deals, they wouldn't have made this money. How much money is Hillary Clinton making these days? You ask, right? How much money? Nothing. You know why? I mean, only off of her personal investments and whatever money they have stashed overseas, right? But she's not making money because she can't peddle her name anymore, because she has nothing. You know, she's gone. And then, you know, when they're out there for quite a while, what do you have? Oh, she was president. You know, the Clinton Foundation would be going huge. But it's not. It's basically dissolved because no one's giving her bribes anymore to do personal favors. And this is what she did. She's guilty of bribery. Bribery, bribery. Same thing for Biden. Same thing for all of it. They don't call it bribery. They make the rules. They call it pay to play. And they don't even call it that. They try to make it sound all nice and Mickey Mouse. You know, not the nasty word bribery that makes you think of felonies right away. But this is what they do. Now, if I was Vice President Joe Biden and I had a crackhead son, not saying it couldn't happen, not saying it could happen. would I have my hand in there taking money if I'm making crap money? So you're the vice president. You have this big name. You make crap money, and here's an opportunity to make millions and millions and millions of dollars and stuff your pockets, you know, really not doing much. Would I do it? Of course I would. I'm a pirate. I tell people that when I first meet them, you know, I'm very piratey. You should look up what a pirate is. You know, you'll believe me. But would I do it when people get hurt? No. But if it's just business and pushing around piece of the pie, of course. Of course. You don't think Vladimir Putin is a billionaire? They have him listed as just making the state money, living in a simple apartment. His daughter's a billionaire. All of his family's billionaires. Come on, man. You don't think the Clintons are billionaires? Of course they are. You don't think they have a ton of money stashed? Of course they do. But these are the worst, horrible, possible people. And people do die and get hurt because of these. They do deprive people. Even look at the people of Haiti. The Clintons took $1 billion, a billion with a B, from us, from our government, $1 billion to go and manage the rebuild of Haiti after the storm hit and the earthquake and a whole bunch of crap hit them. And they said not, the people of Haiti said not one of those dollars, not one, was spent in Haiti. Not one. The Clintons kept it. Because they're probably like, yoink, it's ours now. Try to get it back from us. Nobody cares because the media is not going to go hack them. CNN is not going to go on there. Oh, you know, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton are thieves. Or no, because they own this. The CNN is the Clinton News Network. They own them. But in this debate tonight, I want to see truth. And truth comes out no matter who you are, whether you like it or not. Truth comes out, it finds a way, right? So I want to see Biden collapse with his sphincter pulsating from the pounding that Trump is going to give him over this new revelation. And, you know, so they're saying, well, the Democrats like to say, well, what he did wasn't illegal. If it's true what he did, it's not illegal in 2017. But what about all the years where he was vice president? Is that a conflict of interest? And this is the same dude who bragged about the Ukraine and getting a prosecutor fired and holding money back, which is a quid pro quo. I'm not going to give you this money if you don't do what I want you to do. Meanwhile, they go after Trump from a quid pro quo because Trump said that Hunter Biden and the Biden should be investigated over the phone. He thinks they should be investigated. Oh, look at all this information coming out. Do you think they should be investigated? So then, all right, let's say that Biden wins. And I'm not choosing Biden. I'm choosing Trump from 7 to 15% of the vote over the win. Because, and I'm always wrong, because of the enthusiasm, because of the signs that I've seen. You know, and yeah, I know New York and California. You know, a lot of people are Democrats or whatever, but I've also in New York seen a lot of Trump signs, a big support. Maybe not in liberal Ithaca, New York, but other places, sure. But the reality is the devil you know versus the devil that you don't know. If you put Biden in there, it's going to be stealing, stealing, stealing. And Hunter Biden is going to be right in the White House smoking crack with his hookers, man. You can count on that. He'll be laughing about it, having his personal chef in the White House make his hooker all kinds of treats, laughing about it. You know, Trump will be there scorned. He'll be in lawsuits, locked in lawsuits, suing everybody in America. You know, they're saying that he said, you know, all right, this is the deal with Trump. Whenever someone says to me, like my mom, oh, did you hear that Trump said this, 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 and this? I'm like, Mom, did you watch him say it? She's like, no. I'm like, well, where'd you hear it? She's like, on CNN. I'm like, why do you watch CNN? I'm like, they're not even, I'm like, unless you want to watch CNN and hear that type of stuff, you're not really going to get any news off of them. So I said, Trump is at a rally. He likes to joke. He likes to laugh. He kind of is a showman. You know, this guy was a fight promoter. He was a television guy. He's got that thing. I've got it too. It's called being a huge ham, right? So he's out there doing his thing, his spiel, making jokes and whatever. I don't know. At the end, they played Village People, YMCA, and he's up there dancing on stage, moving, making some moves. That's him. That's him. Biden, he doesn't have that. He's too stiff. When Biden's on his own, he ends up threatening people, threatening to fight them. Let's go outside. I'll beat you up. He threatened a construction worker in one video I saw, shaking hands, going through a plant. The guy actually asked him about Hunter Biden. Let's go outside. I'll take you apart. Let's go outside. That construction worker should have punched him right in his old ass face right then and there. Right then and there. Ba-ba! Knock you out, old man. Knock you on your bony butt. Your bony billion-dollar butt from stealing money and lying. Don't lie. Just tell people that you're a scumbag. Yeah, I'm a scumbag. People would be so thankful that you told the truth. The American voter, if you had a politician out there, yeah, I'm fucked up. Look at me. But doesn't mean that I can't represent you properly. You know, the more screwed up I am, the more I know how to represent you. That's kind of how it goes. It's a catch-22. You don't want some politician who's sitting there in his basement not knowing what the hell's going on, being fed bits and pieces of information from his handlers. Is that what you want out of a president? Or do you want the guy who's going to dance to YMCA? Oh, but Trump was with this what they call a hooker, that Melania said. That came up again from the last time around. Stormy Daniels. I don't blame people for having sexual desires. We're human beings, right? I don't blame powerful people for. I mean, these guys treat their women as a product, as a trophy, as something that's owned. These women wouldn't be with these guys unless these guys had an incredible amount of money. Melania Trump would not be with Donald Trump unless he had an incredible amount of money. She would be with some other guy who had an incredible amount of money, right? There are women, there are men too, who hunt people down, who have money, you know, and they want to be the million-dollar boyfriend, girlfriend, right? It happens, man. I'm not that person. If I was Donald Trump, I would pay for those girls to be around me, man. Is there love at that point? You think Melania loves them? Is there love for anybody? I got friends on their third marriage already. You know, I'm out of a relationship. I mean, people look at you one day and they say, I love you forever. Always be with you. Next day, I freaking hate you. Get out of my face. Get out of my life. Throw you out in the street, man. You know what? And real shame. You know, that people put money over love. And it happens like that all the time. You know, so it'd be interesting to see the world if money wasn't important, you know, and just how people were, their personalities, what they contribute to the world. That was more the important thing. It's like utopia, which is an impossible dream for humans because humans use money to control each other. It's simple. It's about power and control. That's why Melania Trump, the beautiful Melania Trump, was with Donald Trump. That's why he was with all those women who were pretty good looking. There was one of them I didn't like, Ivanka's mom. She was just like, scary. And I guess that's when he was floating around. I guess, you know, this guy was around like the most beautiful women in the world, you know, these models and stars and whatever. That's a tough candy box to refuse, man, if you're in a long-term relationship. Already people get hard knocks because of Facebook, because when Facebook started up, people started reconnecting back from high school. You know, married or not, getting, oh, yeah, I had a crush on you. Yeah, okay, let's go jump in bed and do it. You know, you get out of the system. Should people be in long-term relationships, or are humans capable of it? I think at one point they had to, right? Men were the hunter-gatherers or the hunters, whatever. Women gathered, men hunted, kept the home, whatever, right? That went on for a long time. Then the feminists came through. Now women work, although 90% of working women say they hate working and they'd rather be home raising children because that's what they yearn. Their DNA yearns to do it, yearns. Right? But then you have a lot of those women who took jobs away from men, and then the men couldn't support their families, and families got fragmented. I know a lot of dudes who lost their jobs, even from the COVID thing, they lost their families too, you know? Lost their families too, because they couldn't produce. So I guess it was better off being without them than being with them. And that's what people think of you. When you realize that you're only worth the money that you make, you know, to the people around you, it's pretty heavy, man. So how much, you know, how much is a wife worth to you? What's the price tag? What's the price tag on kids at that rate? What's the price tag? How much do you have to pay to be loved? How much do you have to pay? So sad that that our world has degenerated into this, and it was a specific intention on doing so. And there's nothing, there's no balancing point. There's nobody trying to say, hey, you got to stop this insanity and go forward. I mean, religion, all that, just a bunch of cults. You got the Pope saying same-sex marriages is okay, encouraging it. Yeah, fine. I don't get into Catholicism. I think it's a huge cult. I just like the rest of them, I don't think that they're doing any good. I see how their priests have raped and bungled kids for how long. So, and they haven't taken the responsibility. They have not taken that responsibility except for denying it and hiring lawyers who hire media companies in America to downplay everything, all the ills that these people do. Right? So, whatever, man. You can rewrite your rules. You can change things around to fit your own narrative because it's all about money. Money, money, money. You want those gay guys and those unions to come into that church to give you money, not to come in and worship Jesus. You know, is the Catholic Church even about that? With all the saints that they put up? I thought God said worship no one but me. What happened to that? I say rewrote that too, right? Put no one before me. I think no one is no one. But that's the game they play, you know? And now the Pope is running around being pulled by liberal strings. And all these conservatives who are Catholic are upset because they see this. It's a system, and you're part of a system. If you want to pray to Jesus, you can do that anywhere, anytime. You don't need a dude in a dress telling you that you're a sinner and nothing, man. You don't need these people up there with gold and diamonds and jewels praying. I see their Christmas decorations of all the gold altars and the diamonds and all the stuff they got. Jesus didn't have any of that. None of it. The dude didn't even have a mule. He got a pair of sandals walking from town to town talking to people, man. And they didn't like it. They, the people in control, they didn't like what he was saying. They didn't like what he was all about because he was speaking out against that kind of power and corruption. The same people now that say they run around, love Jesus, all that, would be the same people that would persecute him for the same reasons they did back then. But if it's their narrative that they're good and wholesome people, ha, you know what they are? They're the opposite of that. You know, they're serpents and demons. So, and there's been a fight, a good and evil fight going on for a hell of a long time. And now it's coming to a head. And you are there. So with that, you know what? I'm going to end the show. This is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley live on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5, 104.10, the Past Christian. Watching this debate, I'm going to be laughing my freaking ass off. Adios, muchachos. Muchachos.